Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, January 20th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maylove, here. At 4:30 today, we're going to talk to our good friend Nicole Menzel, Library Director over at the Leicester Public Library of Rome. Looking forward to that. Right now, the perfect way to kick off this week, our friends at Historic Point Boss joining us. We have Mike Hintner and Paula Clavine with us to talk a little bit about some of the events going on over at the Historic Point Boss. Good afternoon, you guys. How you doing?
Yeah, good afternoon, James, and everybody in WFHR land.
Hello.
Appreciate the time from you two and everything you guys and your group and the organization over there puts into our community and help keeping history alive. And one of our signature events over there is the Ice Harvest, and that is right around the corner, Mike.
Right, and I like show and tell on the radio, James.
Yes, yes. Oh, wow, yes.
Yeah. I brought an ice saw today with us, folks, and it's a heavier steel than what you'd use for wood. And the teeth are a little more separated, and of course, iron handle on. This is just a trim saw, which is probably about 28, 30 inches long, and it's just for trimming them once they come out of the water, and if they're too big or they got a little break on them and a little off shape, they trim them with this. But normally, the big saws, I got them in my car out here, but yeah. I didn't want them. They're about 6-7 feet long, and so those are the ones we actually use for cutting ice. So we'll be out there January 25th from about 10 to 1, and anybody wants to come out and just watch? We've had a lot of people call and ask about that. Or if you want to participate, we certainly encourage people to come and help us cut. We're, as we know, James getting a little grayer and a little older, so it's a little harder for us to do the work. So if we got some young people, we've contacted a couple of the high schools, and hopefully we'll get some teenager out there and want to really work and cut some ice, and then we'll haul down to the site and put it in our ice house. We can hold about 120 blocks, depending on the ice. We put up our fence last Monday. Mm. Excuse me, last Thursday. It was too cold last Monday. It was like today. And we decided to do it on Thursday, and the ice was about 16 inches thick. Mm. So I would think after this cold snap, probably in the range of 20, probably. So that's a nice amount of ice. Last year was our worst year ever.
Yeah.
12 inches, and it was very crystallized, and it kind of broke like in icicles. And of course, it was just a warm winter. And I think I heard someplace that it was like the worst year in Wisconsin for ice in recording. I don't know, since 1950 or whenever they started recording that ice thickness and everything. It was kind of one of the worst years. So we're looking for a good harvest, and it's part of the Port Edwards Lions fishery, and we want to give a shout-out to them for letting us be a part of them. It's at Nepco Lake, just by the shelter house, just offshore. We're about 50 feet offshore, so 8 foot of water, so we want to make sure everybody's safe. We don't like anybody to go swimming when they don't want to swim.
Right. Mike, I'm spoiled. You spoil me all the time. I get show and tell, and you show me some of these things over the years, and they're fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. Not just, I think, as a lover of history and coming from a construction background, but just the idea of the history in itself and the uniqueness of these items. When people come to the event, are they going to be able to look at these
and see them? Oh, yeah,
and
use some of them. The smaller children, we don't want to get them by the open water. Sure. But they can do some trimming with that, and the older kids can come and try their hand at it and do some more. So we're fortunate sometimes. Some people come there and stay, 2-3 hours, and it's like, hey, great, that sort of thing. So then we haul it down and put it in our ice house, pack it away. They're also welcome to come down there. That would start somewhere around probably 12 or something like that, and then we've got our sawdust we picked up at Golden Eagle Log Homes, and we got that in a trailer there, and we, of course, pack it with sawdust because that was the main kind of throwaway thing they had for insulation in those days. If they didn't have sawdust, they used straw or hay for that sort of thing.
One of the things I think I bring this up for is, history is there's a million history classes out there being taught, not today, but tomorrow and stuff when school is back in session. There's certainly amazing school teachers out there doing great work and encourage, more and more people to learn more and more about history and learning it. But especially when you're young, one of the quickest ways to get a young person to learn something or start a spark is then to feel it, then to actually touch the items. Words can only do so much, right. And being able to actually physically be at this event and touch that saw, see those saws. Right. I thank you for doing that. Also, though, I think that I encourage people to come down for it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great way to learn, and as you and I all know, and Paula also, I'm sure, we learned a lot in school, but a lot of it was rote memorization, which is okay. Like multiplication tables, you got to memorize those, otherwise they aren't right there when you need them. But for a lot of kids, for the history end of it, I think it really sinks in when they see it, touch it, feel it. that sort of thing. It's kind of interesting, you know, just a little off the beaten path, but I was reading a biography by a slave woman written about 1860, and she was a slave and escaped or got her freedom, whatever. And her brother was 10 years old, and she was a little older, and her brother got sold $720 in 1850. Guess what that is in today's money?
I can't.
$34,000.
Jeez.
Wow. So you can see why when the South in the Civil War was fighting so hard, not only was it labor, it was their economy.
Yeah.
If you had 100 slaves, you might have had $750,000 worth of money invested in them. And so when they get freed, all of a sudden you lost your labor and you lost the value that you paid for those. So unbelievable amount.
It's timely to think of now, especially.
Yeah, Martin Luther King Day, sure.
Right, absolutely. When it comes to the event and the ice harvest, are there other things people are going to want to know, especially if they have, I always like to talk about these, like somebody who hasn't attended it, which is far-fetched for us to think of in this area because it's just so popular and everything. Mm-hmm. But the idea, your first time coming to the ice harvest, some of the things you'll experience.
Well, you experience us cutting, and if they'd want, if they're old enough to cut themselves or to do trimming, you know, if they're off the water. And we'll talk them through the process and what we're doing. We'll show them the saws, what we use, and how we use them. We kind of fooled around for the first couple of years, James, and we didn't know too much. But all of our saws, you know, they have what they call nowadays, we have Johan that does this, but you can see a kerf on some of these where some of these are a little bit over, little bit further than the other ones, and that's what helps your cutting. First couple of years, we didn't know anything about that, and so we were sawing by friction. So it took a lot to cut through a 24-inch block with friction. I mean, we got tired out before we got through almost, but now that Johan dresses these and corrects them and everything, he's got the right kerf on them, and we can really cut, because then the individual little points of the blade are offset so that it has a bigger cutting effect. So one of those things. And also when people come there, we encourage them to get involved, and if they don't want to be involved, and then, of course, we talk to them about our site and what we're doing. A lot of people, it's their first glimpse of what we do in a historic Point Bias. What's that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, as you and I know, James, people have been here for, and we've been here for almost 40 years now, and those people just don't realize that we're here. And it's, you know, it's not their fault necessarily. It's probably our fault we don't get the publicity out or don't do it in the right format or whatever, because nowadays it's TikTok, or if that's still around anymore, or possibly resurrected for a while, or it's Facebook or something like that. And that's the way we have to market. And of course, we market with posters, but it's almost archaic, you know, in a certain sense, because you do see them like when you go to the library or you go to the barber shop or something like that. But a lot of places, you know, I don't think people
appreciate
pay attention
to them. I appreciate what you're saying there. I think, you know, accountability is certainly important, Mike. But it's also on the community to meet you halfway on these things, too.
It's a two-way street,
sir. It is. And it's I talk about Historic Point Bias a lot. I don't know if I've ever shared. I think the second field trip I ever went on when I moved to the state was the Historic Point Bias.
What grade were you in, James?
It had to have been sixth, seventh grade,
seventh
something like
grade.
That. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, nice.
And for me, it sparked something in me.
Yeah.
I can't even necessarily tell you remember every event we did or anything, but I do remember my feet getting on the soil out there, and it felt different. And there's something about that. Again, going back to physically being on site or physically being at these events and how much difference and how much more they hit home, which is a reminder to all of our schools out there that there's always field trips and things
Paula
available.
Will tell you, we got our first school group, Think Academy from Rudolph, I think May 1st. So that's already coming. And they'll start rolling in more consistently now. But, you know, those teachers out there, or those parents that are involved with their children's education and maybe in the classroom, Let their teachers know and the principal know that you like to come out, because we get booked up because everybody wants to be in the end of May. Of course, there's only so many days, and our people are all volunteers. And after, you know, 4-day weeks are pretty rough on, you know, a lot of us, because we're there, you know, 7-8 hours for that day. And if you get 4 or 5 in a row, it gets to be a long day after a while. So encourage those people to get in contact with us sooner than later.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have 1,000 kids come through a year.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's amazing.
And the beauty of it, James, is when you talk to them when they're adults, they all remember it.
Yeah.
They were second graders or fourth graders, or in your case, sixth grade. they all say, oh, yeah, I remember that time we were out there, mm-hmm. you know, sort of thing. And I think a lot of them came as kids, but they maybe didn't remember, or they moved away for a while mm-hmm. and came back and didn't remember that it's actually there yet. And it's flourishing, and yeah. it's bigger than it ever was.
Yes, and they have their candle.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them save them.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's great reference. That was great. The next event at the Historic Point Boss will be the Ice Harvest coming up January 25th for at NEPCO Lake from 10 to 1. Be sure to go to their website to find out more, historicpointboss.com, and looking forward to seeing you down there. The Historic Point Boss will be hosting this 11 to 3 as well, Mike. We're 11 to 3.
1 to 3 at
one
the site.
1 to 3 at yeah. the site.
Watch us pack it away or help us with that process. Yeah.
Right. Next, I wanted to talk a little bit about the next event coming up after that, the Pinery Road Snowshoe hike coming up. Paula, can we talk about this a little bit?
Yes, hopefully we will have snow.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
We're working with the snow gods.
Yes, we're working with it.
We're hoping for it, but it's not conducive to snowshoes, it's also, we can hike. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no reason why. Except a pouring rain, that we wouldn't be out there.
Right.
And it's kind of nice this year. We got a scout group's coming out, and they're going to cook their dinner there, and they're going to partake in it. And so it's kind of nice. Tom was talking to me about that the other day, Tom Bramer. Mm. So it's, you know, we'd like to get that inclusivity with other groups and people like that. So.
And Paula, you make such a strong point with this. While we don't know what kind of what Mother Nature will have for us, we do know that we got the land there. We can snowshoe. You can hike. You're going to be able to enjoy this event either way.
Yes, last year we were there, not a flake in sight, but we still had the big bonfire. We got a lot of work done.
Yeah, well, we do have a lot of extra like stumps and stuff that we have to take care of. So that's a good point. Mm.
Yes, and we cleaned up a lot. We actually did quite a bit, and we all hiked. Yep. So this year, the school's open for a warming house, mm-hmm. whether snow or not. Mm-hmm. We're going to hike.
Yeah, there's a lot to take in with that hike, too. It's not only beautiful out there, but again, the history of that area is so unique.
Yes. Hopefully, we have Northward Adventures that are going to bring the snowshoes. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we can use them. Mm-hmm.
And we'll help, you know, the kids or the adults if they don't have their own snowshoes to outfit them and that sort of thing. And we got a very reasonable rental on those sort of things, and they can use them if they come in the morning. They can use them all day long.
And even if the snowshoes aren't used, you're going to be able to see a demonstration of putting them together, which I think is one of the more cool parts of this, is being able to see how those. We've all seen snowshoes before. I don't know if many of us have seen how they're put together.
Yeah, I think Jeff Stewart does a nice job on that. He's come to our festival for a number of years and done the same thing. And last year we tried to get him, but he had a conflict. But this year he's going to be there. So it'll be great to people to watch that whole process. Now, these are, of course, the old traditional wooden snowshoes.
So it's just a fascinating process to be able to see, like, and I know how many people out there are creatives. Seeing this might even inspire some people to try to make their own or something.
I think you can buy them in kits and you can do it yourself, certainly.
It's kind of cool. That is a pretty cool, unique part of this. And of course, with all of this, there's also going to be a bonfire in the upper parking lot. I wanted to make sure that we mentioned that too. That is going to be nice. Paula, anything else you wanted to add with this?
There'll be marshmallows. Larry's excited about that.
Hot apple cider.
So, come and see us.
Yeah, this is a wonderful event happening February 1st. And again, snow or shine, we will be having this event.
Yeah,
and
I like that snow or shine idea.
it's going to be a fun. Now, how for those that haven't taken it in before and just kind of preparing themselves, how long is the hike itself or snowshoe walk? How fun?
Well, Paula, we got what? 2 or 3 trails, so depending if you put them all together, what, about 3.5
miles? 3.5 miles of trails. Yeah. And you can go short trails, long trails, we'll give you a trail map.
Yeah.
There's hills, there's flat, there's any sort of adventure that you want.
If we had enough snow, you could even, besides snowshoe, you could probably do cross-country skiing also at the site.
So. That's a good point.
And I have.
Some people have done that. Yes.
Nice. Yeah, very cool. So all this to keep in mind, everybody, because we don't know what the weather might be, but we do know that the event is going to be going on, and we're going to have a good time lined up for you when it comes to this.
Yeah, and part of this, James and listeners, is we want to have a year-round site, and this is just one more event to make it accessible to the people year-round. So we eventually want to have some event probably other than May every month. so that we got something going all year round. So that's our ideal anyway. And this is a new one that we've started last year. So.
Well, and, again, and while I haven't talked about prices, this is one of those segments that I don't worry as much about it because they don't change. You guys do such a nice job to the community of making these things affordable, even with the rise of other things going up and down and everything.
Yeah. And we try to especially make the children's price reasonable so that a person, they got three or four kids, can come out and maybe spend $10, $12 total for the whole family. And that's what we're trying to accomplish all the time, is make this children, you know, accessible price for them so that we don't price people out of it, because this is an event we want everybody to enjoy.
And this is, again, where I come in with meeting you guys halfway. I think that the Historic Point Bosco is above and beyond to make these events accessible to the community, to make them affordable to the community. One of the least things we can do is attending these events and promoting these events. Now, maybe you're going to be out of town or something on one of these days. Well, if you have a social media account, you can still promote it. You can share their things and share these things on your social media. You never know who might be able to see it. And we're always, any day of the year, any event, we're looking for volunteers.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, and we always kind of finish up the program, James, with we always need volunteers. We can use them in any capacity, from somebody that doesn't even work on the site but does different mailings or does different research for us. They don't have to be exactly there. You know, when we have an event, you can be a docent if you want. Not everybody wants to do that, but we got sewing we need done, and a classification of our different costumes. We're going to try to reclassify everything and put it a little better order, hopefully move it to below the Saratoga Town Hall and probably in a year or so. And so this is all, you know, sort of things that people can get involved in. Monday mornings we have a work week, a day. Not today. It's a little cold to even do anything inside. We don't have a lot of inside spaces to work when it's warm. Cold, and so we kind of took today off, and I would have been here anyway, so I would have been late for whatever they had going on. But we talked about it on Thursday and just said, well, you know, why kill people on this
discretion
stuff?
Discretion, the better part of valor.
make it easier for people. And Paula was down there this morning, did something at schoolhouse, and one of our volunteers came. I guess I forgot to call him or something like that. And so they come just because, as a matter of fact, we always work Monday mornings unless it's a holiday or something else.
And along with the volunteering and the good that you're going to feel doing that and putting into your community, keeping history alive, one thing that I've noticed over the years of you and I talking, Mike, and the different guests that have come in with you and everything, the camaraderie that exists, the friendship that exists with these organizations, with this organization and this group of people, you not only have an opportunity to make new friends, but like-minded people that are just like you, that love history, that want to keep it around. We get more and more isolated, it seems like, here and have less and less opportunities as we get older to make friends and these kind of things. Like, I don't know if I sound lame saying any of this, but in all honesty, I think it's a cool part of this.
You're right, because you read more and more about the so-called depression people are having. It's because there's so much screen time, and they're doing it all by themselves. And even different times when you have family gatherings, some will be on their screen there or their phone, and people are talking around them, and they're not. They might be, you know, messaging the person at the end of the table, a cousin or something like that, and it's crazy. We have to, you know, screen time is good, it's important, but we got to moderate this thing. And this is where we love it, because we have everybody down there, and we got, like you say, the Monday group is camaraderie, and they come from all walks of life. One guy drives in from Pittsville. I mean, they're coming from all over, and they just enjoy it because we have a good time. We laugh and we joke, and nothing's ever very serious, and we're always very careful and very kind of slow because, you know, we're not young kids anymore. Yeah. And so we just do it, and we know we're going to get it done, but it might take a while.
And like we were talking about this, if you want to get away from the screen a little bit more, little ones, big ones, whoever out there, this is the kind of events that get people engaged, to get people actually touching and seeing things and stuff and really taking in that information. And you just never know what spark it might create.
Yeah. And then you can realize, too, later that how many friends I have that are outside of my normal group of people, you know, sort of thing.
And right now, if you're at the site, you'll see the house on stilts.
Oh, yeah, that's so cool,
You will see the town hall in process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of things are happening, and, of course, most of it started late fall or you know, first or December. So, you know, the house was off and moved to the west towards the river. Now it's back over top of the site, bridged up, and they poured the footings on Thursday. And I think, talk to the people that are doing the concrete work, they're probably back Friday or Saturday and set the forms and probably pour the walls and everything. So it, a lot of things are happening down there. Normally we don't have much going on the site other than the putting away of the ice and also the Pinery Road snowshoe and hiking event, but normally you're not down there in winter very much to see what's happening. But to come on down, even hike around and look and take a look and see what's happening around you.
Make plans to check out the Historic Point Boss's Ice Harvest January 25th over at NEPCO Lake. Things kick off at 10. Be sure to find out more about that. And make plans to attend their Pinery Road snowshoe and hike coming up February 1st. That'll be going from 11 to 4. You can get information about all this again at historicpointboss.com. Be sure to bookmark that webpage and keep up to date on all the great things they're doing over there. And if you'd like to volunteer or find out what ways that you can impact your community, again, reach out to them on there. There's a great contact information right there for you. Follow them on social media as well and share their things on your platforms. You just never know who might see it otherwise. Mike, Paul, thank you so much for being here today. Appreciate you guys. Happy New Year, by the way. Yeah, I meant to say Happy New Year
to you, James. Thank you, James and WFHR.
We'll talk again real soon, and we'll be promoting these events on our morning shows and make sure you guys get a good attendance. We'll take a time out. We'll check in with more our partners, and we'll come back and have some more Midday Magazine for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. WFHR, locally grown radio.